Welcome to The Deep Dive, the show that extracts the most important nuggets of knowledge to get you truly well-informed, fast. Today, we're not just dissecting a company, we're peering into the heart of a monumental and, frankly, dramatic shift in how an entire continent views its security. For three decades after the Cold War, Europe collectively enjoyed what was optimistically called the peace dividend, systematically winding down its defense capabilities, almost as if, you know, the threat had vanished entirely. But then came 2022. And with it, the full-scale invasion of Ukraine, an event that didn't just rattle headlines. It fundamentally rewrote the rules of engagement for national security and, crucially, for the industrial complex that underpins it. Okay, let's unpack this a bit. Today, we're diving deep into Rheinmetall AG, a German industrial titan that now finds itself at the absolute epicenter of this profound transformation. You might not have heard their name in everyday conversation, maybe, but their story is a fascinating, almost unparalleled lens through which to understand Europe's rapidly changing security landscape. And the intricate economics driving it, the high-stakes decisions being made in boardrooms and government ministries right now. They've gone from a diversified manufacturer with a foot in two very different worlds to an undeniable powerhouse in defense. And it's a narrative with colossal implications, not just for investors, but, well, for the geopolitical future of Europe itself.
That's exactly right. And the real insight into Rheinmetall's pivot isn't just that they're shifting, but how this move reveals a seismic, almost irreversible re-engineering of Europe's industrial base. It demands a level of focus that, frankly, few companies have managed historically. This deep dive will illuminate not just what they do, but why this hyper-specialization is so critical now, the unprecedented opportunities it presents, and the significant risks involved for a company operating at such scale. We're going to help you understand the core mechanics of a company benefiting from what many are calling a multi-decade defense supercycle. We'll meticulously examine the stark divergence between their soaring defense business and their, well, struggling civilian arm, analyze their absolutely massive order backlog, scrutinize their ambitious plans for global expansion, and frankly, explore the tightrope they walk with a stock valuation that's, let's say, priced for perfection, leaving very little room for error.
Okay, so let's set the historical stage, because context here is everything, isn't it? For anyone who grew up after the fall of the Berlin Wall, the very idea of European nations heavily investing in their militaries often felt like, well, a relic of a bygone era. For three decades, there was this prevailing sentiment, this collective sigh of relief that allowed governments across the continent to systematically reduce their defense spending. It was the peace dividend, an almost utopian belief that resources previously allocated to tanks and planes could now be redirected to schools, hospitals, infrastructure, you name it.
Right. It's almost like a homeowner in a seemingly tranquil neighborhood deciding their sophisticated security system was an unnecessary expense. They might let the maintenance lapse, maybe even sell off a few cameras and sensors, opting instead to invest in a new kitchen or a garden, you know. There was no immediate visible threat on the horizon, so why bear the cost? The collective assumption was that peace was the default and robust defense was a luxury the continent could and perhaps should forego.
Exactly. And that precisely is where Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022 delivered an abrupt, undeniable, and utterly brutal end to that era of complacency. This wasn't just another conflict in a far-off land. It was a fundamental paradigm shift that shattered the foundational security assumptions for the entire European continent.
Absolutely. What we're witnessing now isn't a temporary reaction or a short-term blip that will fade with a ceasefire. Not at all. On the contrary, it has initiated a long-term structural increase in military spending, a trend that analysts are now confidently labeling a defense supercycle. This isn't merely about buying more weapons. It's a recognition that the security architecture of Europe requires a complete rebuild and modernization from the ground up. It demands a sustained multi-decade commitment to rearmament. This shift is profound, reshaping not just military budgets, but national priorities and industrial capacities across the board.
And the tangible evidence of this shift, if you look at the numbers, it's just staggering. NATO members' collective defense spending in 2024 was a full 50% higher in real terms than it was just 10 years prior, back in 2014. And that long elusive target of spending 2% of GDP on defense, a goal often talked about, but let's be honest, rarely met, it's finally expected to be achieved in 2024, reaching an average of 2.2% across the alliance.
Which is a major milestone in itself.
It is. But here's where the narrative takes a truly eye-opening turn. At the 2025 NATO summit, a new, far more ambitious goal was set. Allies committed to investing a staggering 5% of their GDP on defense and security-related capabilities by 2035. 5%. After decades of struggling to hit 2%, this sounds almost impossible to achieve and, frankly, quite alarming. Is this target truly realistic, or is it more of a, you know, political statement than a practical aspiration given the immense economic and societal trade-offs involved?
Well, you've hit on the critical question there. While it's undeniably ambitious, this 5% target isn't just rhetoric. It's underpinned by a cold, hard geopolitical reassessment. Though its path will certainly not be linear, you're right about that. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's driven first and foremost by growing concerns among European nations over the long-term reliability of the U.S. security guarantee. Let's be frank, there's a palpable sense that Europe needs to be able to stand on its own feet, regardless of who occupies the White House.
That feeling is definitely growing.
It is, and this has spurred a significant, almost urgent movement towards European strategic autonomy, a desire for the continent to be more self-reliant and decisive in its own defense. Historically, there's been hesitation due to, well, divergent national interests and budget priorities, but Ukraine has forged a new, albeit difficult, consensus, and the European Union is reinforcing this with concrete initiatives like the Rearm Europe Plan, aimed at bolstering the continent's defense industrial base, and there's a proposed $150 billion fund specifically designed to provide loans for member states to procure European-made defense equipment.
So try and keep the money and the capability within Europe.
Exactly. So this isn't just about military spending reacting to a crisis. It reflects a deep structural geopolitical realignment. But to answer your question on feasibility, hitting 5% of GDP by 2035, it implies profound societal trade-offs, no doubt about it. We're talking about potentially shifting national resources away from other crucial public services like healthcare, education, or climate initiatives. It means a fundamental reprioritization of national budgets that will affect every citizen. It also implies a massive restructuring of Europe's industrial capacity, demanding unprecedented cooperation in supply chains and a willingness to overcome, you know, nationalistic procurement preferences. While the political will is currently there, sustaining this level of commitment over a decade amidst competing domestic demands and potential economic fluctuations, it presents immense challenges. It's a multi-trillion dollar, multi-decade commitment to rearmament that will fundamentally reshape the industrial landscape and indeed the very fabric of European society.
Right. Now, let's shift our focus from that broad European landscape and hone in on the company at the epicenter of this transformation. Rheinmetall AG. This isn't some startup that suddenly emerged from the geopolitical fog, is it? Founded all the way back in 1889. Rheinmetall AG is a venerable Dusseldorf-based integrated technology group. For most of its extensive history, it's truly had this kind of dual identity, almost two distinct personalities under one corporate roof. On one hand, it's been a leading supplier of defense and security equipment, developing cutting-edge systems for national armies. And on the other, it's simultaneously been a major first-tier supplier to the global automotive industry, churning out critical components for the very cars you and I drive every day. This dual nature, for a long time, defined its strategic approach and financial performance.
And it's precisely this historical dual identity that has now been subjected to what management calls a decisive strategic pivot. Driven by the profound and enduring shift in the global security environment that we just discussed, Rheinmetall has unequivocally embarked on a mission to become a pure-play defense technology enterprise. The significance of this transformation, both for the company and for Germany's industrial landscape, was profoundly underscored by its inclusion in Germany's benchmark DAX stock index on March 20th, 2023.
A big moment.
A huge moment. This wasn't merely a symbolic gesture of prestige. It truly signified Rheinmetall's rapidly growing scale, its critical importance to the European economy, and its indispensable role in the entire security architecture of the continent. It also reflected a fundamental reevaluation by the market of where value is now being created, moving away from diversified industrial plays to specialized, strategically vital assets.
And you can really see this tension, this fundamental conflict, playing out within the company's financial structure, leading to what many are now calling the two-speed company phenomenon. On one side, you have the defense-related segments, vehicle systems, weapon and ammunition, and electronic solutions that are experiencing truly explosive double-digit growth. It's an unprecedented boon for them, yeah, fueled by urgent national priorities and multi-billion euro commitments. But then on the other side, you have their legacy civilian business, Power Systems, which is facing, well, cyclical headwinds and disruptive transition in the automotive industry. This stark divergence is visibly clear in their financial performance, almost like watching two completely different companies operate under one roof, with vastly different prospects and challenges.
It really is. Imagine the internal cultural clashes, the difficult resource allocation decisions, the sheer strategic complexity of managing two such disparate divisions, one in hypergrowth, the other in significant decline.
Yeah, must be tough.
And this stark contrast, this drag created by the automotive segment, has led management to make a bold, almost radical strategic move. They have explicitly stated their intention to divest the civilian business. Now, the real insight here is that this isn't merely about shedding an underperforming asset. It represents a critical potential catalyst to unlock significant previously masked value for the company. By simplifying the corporate structure, it will dramatically reveal the unencumbered growth profile of the core defense enterprise, which is currently being obscured by the weaker performance of the automotive division.
Right, getting a clearer picture.
Exactly. The civilian business is clearly acting as a drag on consolidated profitability and growth. We can see this in the raw data. For the full fiscal year 2024, the consolidated group operating margin was 15.2%, but the defense business alone achieved a much stronger 19%. This divestment speaks to a recognition that in this era of acute defense demand, hyper-specialization is not just an advantage, but maybe a necessity. The strategic risk of not divesting, of allowing the civilian business to dilute the defense narrative and divert management attention, is arguably greater than the challenge of executing the sale itself.
Okay, now let's really get into the specifics of these different segments, peeling back the layers of Rheinmetall's operations. Let's start with the thriving defense growth engines. First up, we have Vehicle Systems. This division is truly a cornerstone of European land forces, responsible for producing a wide range of armored tracked vehicles, like their cutting-edge Panther KF-51 main battle tank, a truly next-generation design that's drawing significant attention.
Very futuristic-looking tank, that one.
It is. They also produce crucial wheeled tactical vehicles, such as the Boxer and Fuchs platforms, alongside essential military logistics and tactical trucks, basically equipping the very backbone of a modern army. And the numbers here are astounding, reflecting this foundational role. Sales in this segment surged by a massive 46% year-over-year in the first half of 2025, reaching an impressive $1.9 billion. This wasn't just abstract growth. It was directly driven by large-scale deliveries of SWAT body trucks to the German armed forces, the Bundeswehr, and also by the initial revenue contribution from the recently acquired U.S. vehicle specialist, Lock Performance. For you, the listener, this segment is literally modernizing and expanding European armies right now, ensuring they have the mobility and protection needed for 21st century battlefields, and significantly contributing to interoperability among NATO forces.
And moving beyond the vehicles themselves, we then arrive at what many see as the true heart of the current demand, their weapon and ammunition division. This is not only Rheinmetall's most profitable division, but it's also truly at the epicenter of the current demand surge. Their focus on large and medium caliber weapon systems and ammunition, especially the critical 155mm artillery shells, has placed them in a uniquely vital and almost indispensable position in the context of the Ukraine conflict.
Those shells are just being consumed at an incredible rate, aren't they?
Astonishing rates. The numbers, again, speak volumes. In the first half of 2025, this segment posted record sales of $1.3 billion, a robust 26% increase from the prior year. And its operating margin reached an exceptional 21.2%, significantly up from 19.5% previously. This isn't just a matter of strong sales. It reflects their unparalleled ability to capitalize on urgent orders from NATO member states, both for direct support to Ukraine and for the crucial replenishment of their own national stockpiles, which were, frankly, dangerously depleted by decades of underinvestment, and the immense challenge of scaling 155mm shell production. It involves securing raw materials like propellants and steel, managing complex forging and machining processes, accelerating assembly lines. It's a monumental industrial undertaking that Rheinmetall is uniquely positioned to lead.
Moving beyond the physical hardware of vehicles and shells, we have electronic solutions, which is all about the digital battlefield. This segment is focused on providing the advanced brains of modern warfare. Sophisticated air defense systems, advanced soldier systems that enhance individual capabilities, cutting-edge sensor technology for superior situational awareness, and even realistic simulation and training solutions for armies worldwide. This is truly where the future of military technology is being built, making forces smarter, more connected, more integrated.
Yeah, think about the implications of AI-enhanced targeting, for instance. It's not just about speed, but about unparalleled precision, reducing human error in complex, high-pressure scenarios. It fundamentally alters the role of the human soldier, turning them into more of a high-tech operator.
All right. This division also showed robust growth, with sales in the first half of 2025 growing by 44% to $944 million. A significant part of this was driven by the German Army's large-scale Taiwan digitization project. Now, there's a nuance here. Profitability for this segment was temporarily impacted, with the operating margin compressing to 7.6%. This was due to significant startup expenses for establishing a brand new F-35 fighter jet fuselage facility in Wies, Germany, which is a major forward-looking investment for future capabilities that temporarily weighs on the bottom line but, you know, promises substantial returns down the road.
The necessary investment for that kind of high-tech future. Now, let's sharply contrast those thriving defense segments with power systems, which is undeniably the civilian drag on the company's overall performance. This legacy business primarily supplies a range of automotive components like pistons, engine blocks, pumps, and sophisticated emissions reduction technologies. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this segment is facing severe headwinds that are both cyclical and structural. The cyclical downturn in the global automotive industry has certainly played a role, but the more profound challenge is the disruptive structural shift towards electric mobility.
The EV transition is hitting them hard.
Very hard. This transition is effectively eroding demand for their traditional internal combustion engine components, which have been their bread and butter for decades, while simultaneously requiring massive, costly investment in entirely new technologies for electric vehicles. It necessitates a fundamental retooling and reskilling that carries immense risk. The stark contrast is highly visible in the data. In the first half of 2025, power system sales actually declined, and its operating margin collapsed to just 2.4% from 5.4% in the prior year. This segment is undeniably the reason for the two-speed company phenomenon and provides the core strategic rationale for the planned divestment. It truly masks the impressive profitability and growth trajectory of the core defense business.
Okay, and just to give you a clearer sense of their evolving footprint and national significance, let's briefly touch on their geographic revenue distribution. Historically, Rheinmetall was quite internationally focused, with approximately 76% of its sales coming from foreign markets in 2023, reflecting its global reach. However, with a monumental surge in orders from their home market, specifically the Bundeswehr, especially those funded by Germany's monumental $100 billion Special Defense Fund, we've seen a notable shift. The domestic share of revenue has increased, causing the foreign share to fall to 70% in fiscal year 2024 and 71% in the first half of 2025.
So becoming more German-centric in a way.
Exactly. And this isn't just a statistical shift. It profoundly highlights Rheinmetall's indispensable role in Germany's Zeitenwende, or turn of an era, in its security policy. It's effectively transforming them into a crucial national asset, a domestic industrial champion absolutely vital to Germany's security rebuilding efforts. #tag industry dynamics and Rheinmetall's competitive moat.
Let's reiterate and maybe deepen our understanding of the European defense supercycle, because its long-term nature is really the foundation of Rheinmetall's opportunity. This isn't a fleeting moment. It's a structural trend, fundamentally driven by the war in Ukraine, which continues to create urgent, insatiable demand for ammunition and equipment replacement, alongside the pressing need for European forces to modernize. Added to this is the growing, almost existential movement towards European strategic autonomy as the continent aims to take greater, more direct responsibility for its own security. Governments like Germany, with its $100 billion Sondervermögen or special fund, are now acting with an urgency previously unseen.
But there's a catch, right?
There is. An important caveat, and one that introduces significant volatility, is that government procurement is inherently slow and subject to political cycles. It just is. We saw this clearly in the second quarter of 2025, where a delay in the German federal budget approval process led directly to a postponement of major contract awards. This illustrates how, even in the midst of a supercycle, political timelines and bureaucratic hurdles can create significant quarterly choppiness, impacting revenue recognition and, crucially, cash flow.
Right. Now, contrast that with the persistent automotive sector headwinds facing Rheinmetall's power systems division. While the defense business has this powerful generational tailwind, the civilian side is battling a full-blown, multifaceted storm that makes its strategic divestment all the more logical. We're looking at weak global demand, with global vehicle sales forecasted to grow by a meager 2.7% in 2025, held back by economic pressures, consumer hesitancy, geopolitical uncertainty. The works. But it's not just a cyclical downturn. It's a profound, irreversible technological disruption.
The EV shift again.
Exactly. The costly and deeply uncertain transition to electric vehicles, EVs, and software-defined vehicles, SDVs, which basically means vehicles whose functions are largely controlled by complex software systems, not just hardware demands. Massive, often speculative investment from suppliers like Rheinmetall. Meanwhile, their traditional product lines, tied to internal combustion engines, face a long-term structural decline.
On top of that, there's increasing regulatory pressure, like the EU's stricter 2025 CO2 reduction targets, pushing automakers and their suppliers to accelerate the adoption of zero-emission technologies, adding even more cost and complexity. For you, the listener, this stark contrast is a clear external validation for Rheinmetall's strategic decision to focus exclusively on defense. It's a pragmatic, almost defensive response to two vastly different market realities.
Which raises an important question. What makes Rheinmetall so strong in this defense market, even compared to other big players? They've meticulously built a significant competitive advantage, a robust moat, if you will, that differentiates them. First, consider their vertical integration in land systems. Rheinmetall isn't just making parts, they are a truly one-stop shop for land warfare systems. They can design and manufacture the entire vehicle platform through vehicle systems, integrate the turret, main cannon, and critical ammunition through weapon and ammunition, and then provide the digital fire control and network systems via electronic solutions.
So the whole package.
The whole package. Imagine a military procurement officer needing a new armored vehicle fleet. Instead of coordinating with multiple different suppliers for the chassis, the turret, the weapons, the ammo, the command systems, they can go to Rheinmetall for a fully integrated solution. This unparalleled integration simplifies procurement, streamlines logistics, and ensures seamless system compatibility. That's an incredibly attractive proposition for complex military organizations often struggling with efficiency. Secondly, their dominance in ammunition production is not just critical, it's becoming a strategic national asset for Europe. The war in Ukraine has dramatically underscored the vital importance of industrial capacity for producing conventional munitions, especially those 155mm artillery shells. Rheinmetall is already a cornerstone of Europe's ammunition industrial base, and they are aggressively fortifying this leadership with massive capital investment. This includes constructing what is intended to be Europe's largest ammunition plant in Lower Saxony, Germany.
That's the big one we mentioned earlier.
That's the one. This isn't just about expanding a factory. It's a strategic move to ensure Europe's long-term security. Such a large-scale domestic plant makes Europe less reliant on potentially volatile global supply chains for critical munitions. Why does this matter? It ensures they will be the supplier of choice for NATO as countries urgently seek to replenish their dangerously low stockpiles and rebuild their strategic reserves. It makes them an indispensable partner in collective security. It kind of echoes that post-World War II understanding of industrial capacity as a pillar of national defense. Next, their incumbency and long-term government relationships provide an incredibly powerful, almost insurmountable barrier to entry for competitors. As a key domestic supplier to the Bundeswehr and a long-standing, trusted partner to many other NATO armies, Rheinmetall benefits from deep, decades-long relationships. These are built on trust, performance, and intricate operational knowledge. Their systems are often the incumbent platforms in national inventories, meaning they are already integrated into existing logistics, training, and maintenance frameworks.
So they're already plugged in.
Exactly. This gives them a strong advantage in securing contracts for crucial upgrades, essential maintenance services, and follow-on orders for new units that are compatible with existing fleets. This creates a powerful lock-in effect, making it very difficult and prohibitively expensive for new challengers to break into the market with completely new systems, securing Rheinmetall's revenue streams for potentially decades.
And beyond their established position and industrial might, they're also maintaining their edge through relentless technological positioning in R&D, aren't they? They're absolutely not resting on their laurels, sustaining significant R&D investment, which amounted to roughly $520 million by 2024. Their innovation efforts are sharply focused on next-generation capabilities crucial for the modern battlefield. Think about the implications of developing advanced digital battlefield solutions that allow real-time information sharing or AI-enhanced targeting that could drastically reduce engagement times and improve precision. They're also heavily investing in robotics for tasks like reconnaissance and logistics, reducing human risk. These aren't just incremental improvements. These are potential game changers.
Absolutely. Paradigm shifts, potentially.
And they also strategically use partnerships to accelerate innovation and broaden their technology portfolio. For example, they have a joint venture with U.S. Defense Prime Lockheed Martin to manufacture missile components in Europe, ensuring local supply chains. And a collaboration with the emerging defense technology firm Anduril to develop cutting-edge unmanned systems. This approach allows them to access cutting-edge tech and share the financial risk, ensuring they remain at the forefront without having to build everything from scratch. And if you look at their raw performance, it's clear they are outpacing peers by a significant margin. In fiscal year 2024, Rheinmetall sales grew by an explosive 36%. To put that into perspective, this compares incredibly favorably to the 12.9% revenue growth reported by General Dynamics for the same period, or the 8% to 10% sales growth guided by BAE Systems for 2025.
Big difference.
Huge difference. This outperformance isn't accidental. It's a direct result of its strategic focus on land warfare and ammunition, which, as we've discussed, are precisely the top priorities for European military planners right now. Their concentrated exposure to these high-demand areas, combined with their capacity expansion and integrated approach, is truly driving their impressive, almost unparalleled growth trajectory compared to many of the more diversified defense primes. Hashtag tag tag financial performance and growth trajectory.
Right. And if we look at their financials, you see a business truly transformed with a velocity that's almost breathtaking. For a period, say, 2020 to 2022, Rheinmetall experienced pretty modest revenue growth, moving from $5.4 billion to $6.4 billion. Okay. But then the inflection point hit hard and fast. Sales grew 12.0% in 2023 to $7.2 billion, and then surged by an exceptional 35.9% in 2024, reaching $9.75 billion. This explosive acceleration is a direct, undeniable result of the unprecedented surge in defense orders flowing into their highly specialized segments, and the shift in sales mix towards a highly profitable defense business has had a powerful compounding effect on their margin expansion. The group's consolidated operating margin expanded steadily from 8.3% in 2020 to a robust 15.2% in 2024. And the real profit engine here, the segment truly driving this expansion, is the weapon and ammunition division. It saw its operating margin widen from an already strong 15.4% in 2020 to a remarkable 28.4% in 2024, reflecting not just high utilization rates, but strong pricing power amidst urgent, almost non-negotiable demand.
Okay, we've seen soaring profits, incredible revenue growth, but now we hit a financial paradox that seems to be keeping analysts up at night, the cash flow conundrum. So walk us through how a company booming in sales and profitability can suddenly face a deeply negative cash flow, reporting a deeply negative operating free cash flow of Mattish $644 million for the first half of 2025, after generating a very strong positive OSCF of over €1 billion just in fiscal year 2024. What exactly is going on here, and why is this such a critical area of focus for investors?
It's a critical question, absolutely. And it's vital to understand that this isn't necessarily a sign of poor underlying operational performance. Rather, it's a direct consequence, almost a side effect, of their aggressive growth strategy, colliding with the unique dynamics of the defense industry. Management has attributed this significant cash burn to three main interconnected factors. First, there's been a substantial order-related buildup of inventory, particularly in the Vehicle Systems division, as they rapidly ramp up production to meet that unprecedented demand. Unlike consumer goods, defense inventory consists of highly specialized, often bespoke components with extremely long lead times and specific storage requirements, tying up enormous amounts of capital.
Right, it's not like stacking widgets.
Not at all. Secondly, there's been a sharp increase in capital expenditures to fund new plants, like that massive ammunition factory in Lower Saxony, and to expand existing capacity across their defense segments. These are enormous upfront investments that don't generate immediate cash returns. And thirdly, and critically, they experienced lower than expected customer prepayments, which were unfortunately delayed due to the protracted German government's budget approval process we talked about earlier.
Ah, so the government delay hit the cash flow too.
Directly. So while the orders are there and the profits are booked, the cash hasn't fully arrived yet, creating a timing mismatch that can look alarming if you don't know the context. This creates a high-stakes show-me moment for Rheinmetall. Management has maintained its full-year guidance for a cash conversion rate of over 40%, which implies a massive cash inflow in the second half of 2025 as deliveries accelerate and those delayed payments finally materialize. For investors, this H2 2025 performance will be absolutely crucial. It's the moment the company must prove its ability to translate its immense backlog into tangible, accessible cash, effectively validating its aggressive investment strategy. Failure to deliver could severely test investor confidence.
Okay, so despite that recent, rather dramatic cash burn, it sounds like their underlying financial health and flexibility must remain robust to sustain such an ambitious strategy. What does their balance sheet tell us about their capacity to absorb these investments and continue pursuing growth?
Absolutely. Their financial health is indeed robust, providing the necessary foundation to fund this aggressive growth trajectory. As of the end of Q2 2025, the company reported a solid equity ratio of 33.7%, indicating a healthy proportion of assets financed by owners' capital rather than debt. Crucially, their financial leverage remains remarkably low. The net debt-to-EBITDA ratio stood at a conservative 0.7x at the end of 2024 and was reported at an even lower 0.34x after the first quarter of 2025.
Very low debt.
Extremely low. This very low level of debt is profoundly significant because it gives the company considerable capacity for further internal investment in production expansion and also substantial flexibility for potential M&A activity without jeopardizing its financial stability or significantly increasing its cost of capital.
Yeah.
Furthermore, the significant investments being made are proving to be highly effective and value accretive. Their return on capital employed, or ROCE, a key measure of how efficiently capital is being used to generate profits, improved to 17.3% in 2024. An analyst forecast projects a further increase to an impressive 23.1% in 2025. This indicates that the new capital being deployed into capacity expansion is anticipated to generate strong, compounding returns for the business, justifying the current aggressive spending.
So what does all this mean for their future looking ahead? It sounds like they have incredible, almost unprecedented revenue visibility. Rheinmetall's growth strategy is undeniably underpinned by an absolutely massive and rapidly expanding order book and backlog. This isn't just about current sales, it's about what's locked in for years to come, providing a powerful shield against short-term economic fluctuations. As of mid-2025, their total order backlog reached a new all-time high of $63.2 billion. That's just huge, a staggering 30% increase year over year.
63 billion euros, it's hard to even picture.
It is. To put that figure in perspective, this backlog alone represents several years of revenue at current production rates, meaning much of their future growth is already secured. But it gets even bigger. Management projects, this order backlog will surpass $80 billion by the end of 2025. And the total potential for new orders, or nominations, that is, projects where they are a preferred bidder, is estimated to be more than $80 billion between 2025 and the first half of 2026. The CEO has even suggested a long-term potential of up to $300 billion by the end of the decade. That's an astronomical figure.
It really underscores the sheer scale of the opportunity before them. Connecting this massive and growing backlog to their overarching strategy, Rheinmetall is focused on several key growth pillars designed to capitalize on this defense supercycle. First, and perhaps most urgent, is ammunition capacity expansion. In direct response to the immense consumption of artillery shells in Ukraine and the critical need for NATO to rebuild stockpiles, Rheinmetall is making massive, fast-tracked investments to significantly increase its production output. This includes the construction of what it proudly describes as Europe's largest ammunition factory in Lower Saxony, Germany. This isn't just about meeting demand. It's a strategic move to solidify its position as the continent's preeminent, indispensable supplier of large-caliber munitions, ensuring strategic autonomy for European defense. This plant alone is expected to produce hundreds of thousands of shells annually, dramatically enhancing Europe's industrial resilience. Second, U.S. market penetration is a crucial and ambitious strategic objective. The United States represents the world's largest, most technologically advanced, and often most lucrative defense market. Rheinmetall is executing a deliberate strategy to establish itself as a major player in the highly competitive U.S. land vehicle sector. The cornerstone of this strategy was the August 2024 acquisition of Lock Performance, a Michigan-based vehicle specialist.
That U.S. foothold.
Exactly. This acquisition provides Rheinmetall with a crucial domestic manufacturing footprint within the U.S., sidestepping Buy American requirements and immediately establishing an existing relationship with the U.S. Department of Defense. This positions its U.S. subsidiary, American Rheinmetall Vehicles, to compete as a prime contractor for two of the U.S. Army's largest modernization programs, the XM-30 combat vehicle, the replacement for the Bradley fighting vehicle, and the Common Tactical Truck, or CTT. These programs have a combined potential contract value exceeding $60 billion. A win in either program would be truly transformational for the company's scale, geographic diversification, and frankly, its global standing.
Game changing.
Absolutely. And third, they are also deeply engaged in major European land programs. The company will continue to benefit immensely from the ongoing production of its key European platforms, such as the Boxer-wheeled armored vehicle, a versatile platform used by multiple European armies. Beyond new production, there are significant opportunities for lucrative upgrades to existing fleets of tanks, armored personnel carriers, and other vehicles, extending their service life and modernizing capabilities. Strategic collaborations, such as their joint venture with Italian defense firm Leonardo to develop and market military vehicles, provide another important avenue for growth within Europe, reinforcing a more integrated approach to continental security.
Right.
And it's clear that Rheinmetall's approach isn't just about organic growth driven by sheer demand. They also have a highly disciplined M&A and partnership strategy that selectively augments their capabilities. They seem to focus on deals that either add critical production capacity, provide strategic access to new geographies, or enhance their technology portfolio without overextending. For instance, the acquisition of Expal Systems, a Spanish ammunition manufacturer, in 2022 for $1.4 billion was a direct targeted move to significantly boost their ammunition production capacity, responding immediately to the surging demand.
Smart move at the time.
Very. Similarly, the Lock Performance acquisition was crucial for providing that domestic U.S. manufacturing footprint, a prerequisite for those major contracts. In parallel, they formed strategic partnerships with other industry leaders, such as Lockheed Martin for manufacturing missile components in Europe, and with a cutting-edge firm, Anduril, for developing advanced unmanned systems. This allows them to broaden their product offerings, access bleeding-edge technologies more rapidly, and critically share the substantial capital risk associated with developing next-generation defense capabilities. Ensures they remain at the forefront without having to, build everything from scratch.
Which brings us back to the valuation. With all this unprecedented opportunity and strategic growth, is the price right for investors? Rheinmetall's stock valuation has undergone this dramatic re-rating, moving from that of a relatively predictable cyclical industrial company to one akin to a high-growth, almost tech-like enterprise. This is precisely what analysts mean by priced for perfection. Look at the numbers. Their enterprise value to EBITDA multiple shot up from just 5.4x in 2020 to an elevated 40.4x by mid-2025. Similarly, their price-to-earnings ratio is now hovering around a demanding 79x. Now, isn't this valuation somewhat justified by the truly unprecedented demand and multi-decade supercycle we're seeing? Or is there a significant risk premium baked into these figures?
Well, it's a fair question, and certainly the market is pricing in enormous potential, no doubt about that. However, when you compare this to their peers, Rheinmetall's 40x LTM EBITDA is more than double that of established defense giants like BAE Systems, which trades between 14x and 18x, or Leonardo at 10x to 12x, or even the formidable U.S. prime General Dynamics at approximately 15x. This significant premium isn't just about superior growth, it's the market pricing in concentrated exposure to the most in-demand areas of land systems and ammunition, and a substantial geopolitical premium due to Europe's urgent rearmament. It's a forward-looking bet on their ability to convert that massive backlog into flawless execution and, crucially, cash.
So high expectations.
Extremely high expectations. The implication. This valuation leaves no room for error. None. It makes the stock highly vulnerable to any operational missteps, unexpected political shifts, or even just slower than anticipated order conversion. Any wobble, and that premium could quickly erode. And that brings us directly to what I consider the immense execution risk, which is really the most immediate and significant challenge facing Rheinmetall. The task of scaling production to meet this unprecedented demand is truly monumental, far more complex than simply turning on a tap. We're talking about navigating potential supply chain bottlenecks for everything from highly specialized raw materials like propellants and rare earth minerals to complex electronic components. And critically, securing and retaining highly skilled labor engineers, machinists, welders who are in short supply everywhere right now.
A huge challenge across the industry.
Absolutely. We saw real-world examples of this in their Q2 2025 results, which were directly impacted by delays in truck deliveries and some localized issues with ammunition production. This isn't just an operational headache. It has a direct, profound link to their cash flow, as we just discussed. Failure to effectively manage working capital and convert that massive $63 billion plus backlog into actual tangible cash, something highlighted by the negative operating free cash flow in the first half of 2025, could strain liquidity, test investor patience, and ultimately undermine the entire investment thesis.
And what's fascinating here is how intimately their success is tied to political currents, exposing them to significant political and budgetary risk. The entire investment thesis, that premium valuation, rests on the fundamental assumption of sustained high levels of defense spending by European governments for decades to come. While the current commitment is strong and deeply rooted in geopolitical realities, any future shift in political priorities
or a hypothetical resolution of the Ukraine conflict, even if it's a frozen conflict rather than full peace, or a return to fiscal austerity within Europe could lead to a slowdown or reduction in defense budgets.
Which would hit them hard.
It would inevitably impact their long-term growth prospects and could quickly compress that valuation multiple. As we saw in Q2 2025, even procurement delays caused by slow government budget approval processes can create significant quarterly volatility, making their performance harder to predict and manage.
And let's not forget the persistent legacy business drag of their power systems segment. Even with the stated intention to divest, until that transaction is successfully completed, the civilian business continues to be a financial burden. Its declining sales and collapsing margins weigh on the consolidated group's overall financial performance, masking the true profitability of the defense segments. Beyond the numbers, it also represents a significant management distraction. Executives have to dedicate valuable resources and attention to managing this complex transformation and potential sale, negotiating with buyers, navigating the internal complexities, instead of focusing solely 100% on the massive generational opportunity unfolding in the defense sector. It's an opportunity cost that's hard to quantify, but undoubtedly significant.
Definitely. And of course, there are always other risks inherent to operating in the defense sector, especially at this scale. These include stringent regulatory and geopolitical risks, such as strict export controls, which can block sales to certain regions, or the potential for compliance failures, especially when dealing with complex international contracts, which could result in significant fines and severe reputational damage. And while current geopolitical tensions are a powerful tailwind for Rheinmetall, a future significant de-escalation of the conflict in Ukraine, or a broader, albeit unlikely, improvement in relations with Russia could reduce the immediate urgency of European rearmament, potentially tempering long-term demand and investor enthusiasm, though the structural need for modernization would likely persist.
Okay, so for you, the listener, who is now well-versed in the intricacies of Rheinmetall, what should you keep an eye on to track this incredibly dynamic high-stakes story? The operating free cash flow is, without doubt, the most critical near-term metric. You need to see a clear return to positive and growing cash flow in the second half of 2025 to validate their aggressive investment strategy and alleviate those investor concerns.
That's the big one.
It really is. You also want to closely monitor their backlog conversion rate. Essentially, how efficiently that massive $63 billion-plus order book is being translated into recognized revenue and, ultimately, cash. Keep a very close watch on defense segment margins, especially in the weapon and ammunition division. Can they maintain those exceptionally high margins as production scales even further? Any news or significant developments on their U.S. program developments, particularly regarding the XM-30 combat vehicle or the common tactical truck, will be major potential catalysts, given their transformational potential. And finally, track any concrete steps or announcements related to the power systems divestment. These are the key data points that will tell the real story of Rheinmetall's success or challenges going forward.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, here are a few qualitative scenarios for how this incredibly dynamic situation could play out for Rheinmetall and the broader European defense landscape. Scenario one, continued conflict tension. In this environment, with the conflict in Ukraine persisting, or indeed escalating, and geopolitical tensions remaining high globally, the urgency for rearmament would not only continue, but likely intensify. This would lead to a sustained, robust order flow, continued strong growth for Rheinmetall, and likely support its premium valuation as its strategic importance becomes even more pronounced. Scenario two, negotiated peace escalation. Now, a stable resolution to the conflict in Ukraine, while profoundly desirable from a humanitarian perspective, could introduce a different dynamic. While the structural need to rebuild military capabilities to those new 2-5% of GDP targets would likely remain, the immediate urgency for certain types of military aid and rapid equipment replacement might lessen. The pace of new orders could slow from its current fever pitch, potentially leading to a compression of the stock's valuation multiple, even if the underlying business remains strong over the long term. It would be more like a repricing of urgency rather than a fundamental flaw in the business.
A normalization, perhaps?
Perhaps. Scenario three, global recession. A severe global economic downturn, maybe driven by persistent inflation or other geopolitical shocks, could put significant pressure on government budgets, even for defense. While defense is now a much higher priority than a decade ago, fiscal constraints could still lead to a stretching out of procurement timelines, delays in new programs, and even a reevaluation of the more ambitious spending targets. This would directly impact the company's medium-term growth rate and could certainly test its ability to maintain its current trajectory. Each of these scenarios presents distinct challenges and opportunities for a company as strategically positioned as Rheinmetall. Hashtag tech outro.
We've taken a real deep dive into Rheinmetall AG today, moving from a diversified industrial player with a foot in two very different worlds to an undeniable defense powerhouse. This transformation is fueled by a historic and frankly heartbreaking shift in European security. It's a compelling narrative of adaptation, strategic pivot, and immense opportunity, showing how global events can fundamentally reshape a company's destiny and indeed an entire continent's industrial priorities.
What's truly fascinating here is the delicate balance they're navigating. Immense opportunity and a massive generational order book, but also significant execution risks in scaling at unprecedented speed, coupled with a valuation that, as we discussed, demands perfection. Their long-term success will hinge entirely on their ability to convert that potential into tangible results and, crucially, into consistent growing cash flow.
So what does this all mean for you? Beyond the specific story of Rheinmetall, consider this. What other industries or even countries are undergoing similar two-speed transformations driven by global geopolitical shifts right now? And what does this profound multi-decade commitment to defense, especially the aspiration to hit 5% of GDP, truly mean for the future of European innovation and economic priorities, not just in the military sphere, but across the entire industrial landscape, and for the societal resources that will now be allocated to this critical mission? Thank you for joining us on the Deep Dive. We hope you feel a little more well-informed.